Oh, we are blessed to be together today. What a difference a week makes, Brother Joe said, and how true that is. And here we are, God's family, lifting up praises to Him, where we're warm and we're safe and we're grateful and we're blessed. And it is so good that we are together here today. I hope that you brought a Bible. I invite you to take it out and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to begin looking at the scriptures together in just a moment. I look out and I see some guests with us today. We have some about every week, and we are glad that you are here. You'll notice inside the program that you were handed a connection card. That's a great little tool. I'd ask you to fill it out. Of course, everybody fills one out for the most part. If you have a prayer request, if we could encourage you in some other way, you just indicate it on the card. And then when we pass the baskets in a few moments, you put that card in the basket. We'd appreciate it so much. Love the opportunity to be able to serve you in any way that we can. Of course, also on the inside of the program there, page 3 is an interactive outline, a study guide for this time. And so I hope you have that and a Bible open to Matthew chapter 5. This week I heard an older man reminiscing about his life growing up in a rural area near Kentucky Lake. Now, I don't know if some of you have been to Kentucky Lake. It is a beautiful, beautiful lake. It sits right on the border there between the state of Tennessee and the state of Kentucky. And people travel there from all over for hiking, for boating, for fishing. It's very picturesque. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And this older gentleman, though, is talking about he grew up on a farm near there. And he said, as a boy, what I always wanted was for my dad to take me fishing in Kentucky Lake. He said, I just wanted to be able to get out my rod and my reel and cast it in because all my friends got to go fish in the lake. And people came from out of town and all over to fish in the lake. But what was I doing if I wasn't in school? I was helping my dad on the farm. I never got to go fishing in the lake. He goes, until one day, and I'll never forget this, my father announced at the kitchen table in our little farmhouse, son, we're going to start fishing Kentucky Lake. He was thrilled. He said, it wasn't long, though, before I realized that my father meant commercial fishing. I never did get my rod and reel out and go fishing with my dad. Oh, I went fishing all right. He said, we were out in a boat and I was laying down this long line with hundreds and hundreds of hooks on the line. He said, but I'll tell you what I learned in all that. I learned that a commercial fisherman will outfish you every single time. He goes, because you had one hook and one line. And I had hundreds of hooks on my line. Now I think about that, and I think about that in application to evangelism. About how the Bible calls disciples fishers of men, and how we're called to be fishers of men. And I realize you don't want the preacher, you don't want the elder to be doing all of the evangelism because that's one hook on one line. But look around you. Look at all the people in these pews. Look at the church. This is hundreds of hooks. When we all do our part, when we all work together, we make a difference. And I want you to know that we have a big fishing day coming up planned for October the 1st. October the 1st, we are going to have our Meet the Church Day. We want to have all the hooks on the line in the water that day as we are fishing for men. And what we're going to do right now is spend just a few minutes where I want to share with you, I want to equip you, I want to encourage you with 5 things that you can do, that we can all do to make a difference, to work together, to have a great day on October the 1st, a great Meet the Church Day. And we start in Matthew chapter 5. We start in Matthew chapter 5. Where the scripture says in verses 14 through 16, Jesus speaking to his followers, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I want to tell you that you make a difference. I make a difference. We make a difference when we shine. When you shine, you are making a difference. Here is this wonderful text about you are the light of the world and you are the city on the hill. When the people see your good works, they'll glorify your Father who is in heaven. Is this Meet the Church Day a good work? Do you believe that it is? I absolutely believe that it is. And I want people to see it. I want us to be the light, and I want us to be a good example. And particularly when it comes to this effort, we start to be the light and set the proper example with our attitude, having a great attitude about it. We really shine. If you believe this is a good work, we want to let people know about it. We want to let them see it. We want the people to see from us what a good thing it is to be together right here on October the 1st at 10 a.m. We want to be the light. We want to be the light. And that good example begins with a good attitude, having a proper attitude. And I want to encourage you that your attitude in this work is reflected in two ways: in your attendance that day to support it, and in your participation that day while we're worshiping together. And we know that we have all kinds of guests and new faces in our midst. Let me tell you about this. The attitude. I'm going to be there. I'm going to support it. I want to say this with all the love in my heart. But October the 1st is not a good day to go and visit long-lost Aunt Loretta back in Tucson. Okay? We all love long-lost Aunt Loretta. Will you please go see her the Sunday before or the Sunday after and not on October 1st? Because we need you here that day to participate. You make a difference. And again, with all the love in my heart, October 1st is not a good day to go visit another congregation with your new boyfriend or your new girlfriend. Okay? I know you're going to do that, right? But not on October 1st. On October 1st, you bring new girlfriend or new boyfriend here. We need you here. We're going to make a difference on that day. Okay? I'm going to tell you about October 1st. October 1st is not a good day for you to say, well, I just don't know about this. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of people there. They're never going to miss me if I lay out. I think I'm just going to sleep in today and I'm not going to go. It's not a good day. Do you realize that if 100 people think that quietly to themselves, we will not have a lot of people here. There'll be visitors show up to a half full church building. What kind of message is that send? It's not a good day to lay out and sleep in or go play golf. This is the day that we all want to be God's people here on October 1st. And this is being light, and this is having a good example by supporting this effort with our attendance. Likewise, with your participation, be the light and set the example with your joyful, active worship. The kind of joyful and active worship that we're celebrating this morning. I don't know if you appreciate this about Livingston. You know, sometimes familiarity breeds contempt and our ears get a little bit numb. But this is a singing church. You really are. In fact, when people ask about things at Livingston, I like to lead with that. And I brag on you, not in a bad way, don't be mad, but I brag on you a little bit. When people ask me about Livingston Church or preachers ask me about Livingston Church, I said, you would not believe the song worship at this church. There is so much zeal. There is so much passion for the singing. People sing out. And understand, when I say that, that has nothing to do with the tempo of a song, whether it's fast or slow, or whether it's supposed to be loud or whether it's supposed to be soft. What this is about is heartfelt singing. And I've never seen, I've rarely seen anything like it, where people just singing out, the brethren are singing out. People have some musical ability in this church. They use it in the song worship and praise God. It is wonderful. I need your voice here. We need our voices all here together singing on October 1st. Because you know, when our neighbors meet this church, they're going to wonder for a minute, where's the guitars at? Usually there's guitars. Or where's the piano at? Something like that. And then what are we going to do? We're going to start singing together. And they'll say, wow, you guys do it a whole other way than I've experienced. But it's good. It's good. And you make a difference with your voice when you participate in song worship to stir up others to love and good works, to teach and admonish others, participate heartily in all the worship. I believe that this effort on our Meet the Church Day is a good thing. And I'll tell you that when a soul is introduced to the gospel, when a soul is won to Christ, we will all be glorifying God for this good work. So be the light and shine. Secondly, something we all can do, and we make the difference, is when we speak. And I want to go from Matthew 5 to the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. To the Gospel of Mark chapter 5 in your New Testament. In Mark 5 and verse 19 is where we're going to pay attention. We are coming to the tail end of a paragraph which recounts this amazing deliverance Jesus performs for a fellow, a man of the Gadarenes. This fellow had been full of demons. Legion. And what had the Lord done? He had cast those demons out. And don't you know how grateful this fellow was? He wanted to get in a boat with the Lord. He wanted to follow the Lord. I want to be a disciple with you. I'll go wherever you go. And notice what the Lord told him in Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 19, however, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and he began to proclaim in Decapolis, that's the 10 cities, all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. And this just follows very naturally from what we just said about being light and being the example and our attitude. Because along with shining by our attitude and example, it comes out through our speech. And the Lord taught us about our speech. Our speech flows from our heart. Here's a fellow we read about in Mark 5 who had an amazing true story to tell. How Jesus had blessed him, how he had cast the demons from him. It changed him forever. And what Jesus wanted him to do, Jesus wanted him to start at home and go tell his family, go tell the neighbors what God had done. But I tell you this morning that we all have a story about what the gospel has done for us and how it has changed us. It has been said every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. I didn't coin that phrase, but I repeat it because it's absolutely true. I think it's fantastic. We'd love to tell others about great things that has happened for us, don't we? We love to tell other people we found a great restaurant and you got to try it. And we love to tell people, I saw a really cool movie. There was helicopters and explosions. You got to see it. That's my taste in movies, right? Yeah, if you could ever have a high-speed car chase against a submarine, I think I'd just have to see that movie. I mean, and you would need to see it too, because I'd say that's just incredible. We tell people about the recent cruise we went on or the vacation we went on. We even want to show them our pictures and we say, you got to go there. You got to see this. We tell people when we have found the one, the love of our life, and we're going to be married. We let the world know. When wonderful, wonderful things are going on, we let the world know. This is a great church. We need to let people know. Talk about Livingston Church. Talk about the special Sundays with other people, this special Sunday. And again, I want to compliment you, brethren, because I think so many of you do this very well already. You really do. You're very good at having spiritual conversations and talking about this congregation. In fact, a big reason why Julie and I wanted to be a part of this church and a part of this work is when we got to spend some time and get to know you, we were listening to your stories and we met some brethren here that talked about when I, as an adult, learned the gospel and obeyed the gospel 20 years ago and I was part of Livingston Church. And other people were talking about when I learned the gospel and obeyed the gospel as adults. But it was 2 years ago, or it was 3 years ago, and I was part of Livingston Church. There's wonderful stories here about how we have come together and supported one another in prayer and in difficult times, and how we have celebrated and had life together as the body of Christ in this place, and the good things as well. I guess what I'm saying is one of the reasons why we wanted to be a part of this congregation is because we met so many people who really love the congregation. They were willing to tell us about that. And you do not find that everywhere you go. It's special. We need to talk about it. We have stories together that we share of wonderful things about this congregation, how our children are learning the Bible here, how we're getting the word out to the community here, how we worship God here in edifying ways. I mean, there's just lots of things. And we want to speak and say, come meet the church. Come meet the church on October 1st. You make a difference when you speak. We want to get all the hooks in the water. We want to all be involved. And the third way that we can do this all together is to pray and to be praying about this. I'm noticing in my New Testament, Colossians chapter 4, and the prayer request of the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, here's the Apostle's prayer request. He said, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it, in prayer, with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains, that I may make it manifest, that is known and clear, as I ought to speak. Pray for the opportunity, the open door. Pray for the preacher. Pray for the speaker who is carrying God's word and declaring God's word. I don't know how many of you remember this, but 2 weeks ago you were given this hot pink sheet. Some of you have seen it. Some of you is like, it's burning a hole right through the refrigerator door. It's burning a hole right through my bathroom vanity mirror. I hope it is. I hope you have it pasted up there and it's burning a hole quite there, because then you won't miss it. And what this is 30 days of prayer. Now, if you need one, we have extras stacked up on the table in the back. But what we have asked as a church and committed as a church is that each day we're going to a word of prayer and a specific prayer about Meet the Church Day. We pray for something when it's important. I think about James and how he encourages us that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. But again, I don't see one person praying. I don't see two or three praying. I see hundreds of prayers. It's not one hook and one line. It's hundreds of hooks, right? Hundreds of prayers about this every day. And I think how powerful it is to lift up those common pleas to God as we're about his work. Specifically on October the 1st. And I could give you a list and we could study more on Paul's list of requests. But again, that list has been made and we've got 14 more days to be praying about it. Pray for it. Pray for it. Let's start praying about it now. Number four. You make a difference when you invite someone. When you say, come and see. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, we see that when Philip was talking to Nathanael about should he come and meet Jesus, I want you to meet Jesus. Nathanael, of course, is a bit skeptical. And John, chapter 1, and verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and he said to him, we found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Come and see. We see Jesus and his followers saying, come and see throughout the Gospel of John. We believe in that. I believe in that. It's one of our two-pronged approach to evangelism in our local church. Come and see, which is about invitations. Meet the church day as part of that come and see. And then go and tell. Go and tell and make gospel presentations. But look, the power of a simple invitation is incredible. It's non-confrontational. It can be very low-key. It shows genuine interest in another person. I think you might like this. I do. I think this might be meaningful to you. It's very meaningful to me. So we have these little cards printed up for that day. And there's a big stack of cards out there, right, on the back tables. And our challenge to the congregation, to the membership, is four invitations apiece. And if each of us make four invitations apiece, that's 1,000 invitations to this day, to this event. And we can do it. We absolutely can do it. We need to commit to make an invitation, right? Between each service, between now and then. Edwin was talking to us about it Wednesday and showing that back on the board, oh, it's starting to get a little bit red. It's getting started. We've got our tracker board. When you make an invitation, you get to color a box in red. That thing's going to be full in 2 weeks. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be incredible. Make that invitation. Color in the box. We're all encouraged that we know we're doing this together. You can hand a card to someone. That'd be a way to do it. You could write a little note, put the card in with it, and mail the note. You can, you know, turn an address to someone you'd like to receive information about this. We'll do a mailer here. On September 30th, there's going to be a door-to-door visitation planned to personally invite all of the close neighbors of this church building. Would you like to do that? Go out with Brother Tim Fannin and some of these others. We're just going to knock on a door and say, we're your neighbors and we want to invite you to come meet the church tomorrow on October 1st. Get with Tim about that. Get with Ryan Lanning about that. We're going to be making some invitations. Think about the person that you bring. Think about the person that you've invited. They're going to come. Somebody's going to come. Are you going to need to give them a ride there to worship him back? If you're giving them a ride, would you want to have some other hospitality with them? Maybe we should have lunch together or talk a little bit more. How might I encourage them to come back? We just need to think through these things. What we don't want to happen on Sunday, October 1st, is for everybody running around crazy because we just didn't think anybody would come and we don't know what we're going to do. We know there's going to be over 500 people here that day. We're making plans for that. You make plan for who's coming with you, right? You make a plan for who's coming with you. But we all work together and we all invite. Number five, fifth and finally this morning, you make a difference when you welcome people, when you welcome others. And I'm looking at Luke chapter 7, where Jesus was invited into the home of one named Simon the Pharisee. It was, seemed to me as I'm reading it, kind of an awkward, intense dinner at some different times. But one of the things that made it so strange was it seems that there was a woman with an ill reputation, a bad reputation. She's coming to the house too. She pays Jesus a lot of attention as Savior and as Lord. And of course, Simon and the other Pharisees are saying, well, if this guy's really a prophet, he's not going to have anything to do with this sinful woman. We just can't believe this. Jesus is aware of their hearts. Jesus is aware of their skepticism and their evil intent towards him and toward this lady. And he addresses it in verse 44. Then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. What I'm really wanting to highlight here at this moment out of the text is that there was absolutely an expectation on the part of Jesus and his people about hospitality and what it would mean to be welcomed into this house. I'm expecting a greeting. You didn't greet me. I'm expecting water to wash my feet. No, you didn't wash my feet. I am expecting some type of anointing and oil to get cleaned up. I'm expecting, you didn't do any of that. Okay? There was an expectation for greeting, and Simon absolutely failed. People have expectations for greeting. If we're honest, we all do. We all do. And we may not say it, but we sense it and we feel it. We feel it when people care and they make us feel like we belong. And we feel it when people don't make us feel like we belong. When people don't make us feel like they care. We care. We're looking for ways to express this to our neighbors, to the community, and especially on Meet the Church Day. And so how do we try to communicate caring here? Well, for one thing, it's through the guest evangelism effort. And I want to take a minute and just thank all of the people that work in that. It's a tremendous effort. The guest evangelism greeter teams, all of us were greeted today, handed a program, given information. There are great volunteers there who meet, who greet, who direct, who help guests. And they're working the guest center. It's a lot of effort. I appreciate you for doing it. We're going to be really working big on October 1st. There's the guest evangelism card writer team. And that work is going great, by the way. We have about an 80 to 90% success rate in getting cards to people who attend in a timely fashion by our own goals. And I want to say, God bless you for the seeds of love you plant every time you mail a note. Because that's not seen by the rest of the group. We forget about it, but you're doing it. My guess is that we all get one or two cards assigned after this Meet the Church Day. There's going to be a lot of people here. I want to thank the people that handle the connection cards. There's a connection card team. There are folks who process all of those cards in the baskets every service to make sure they get where they need to go so that you get the prayer, the service, the ministry, the encouragement you need. Again, we don't think about those people, but they do a great, great job. And thank you very much. So there's some special people that want to work to make people feel welcome. And we do this every week. We do. In fact, if you'd like to know more about that guest evangelism effort, talk to me or talk to Peter after the service. We'd love to tell you about it. We could use a couple more bodies. We really could. A couple more servants there. But this is not an excuse or a reason to think that the whole congregation isn't to be welcoming. We are. We are. It's a congregational effort. And this event is an opportunity to help all of those involved with welcoming guests by doing our part. All the hooks in the water. And brethren, we all need to welcome guests. We all need to do this. What can we do to help on October the 1st? We all need to sit just a little bit closer together. and down front. You might need to write that on the paper. On October the 1st, to help welcome guests, we all need to sit a little bit closer together and move down front. We're going to have somebody keeping an eye out if we need to get out chairs. We'll get out chairs. But not when we have whole sections that are completely empty. We can sit together and we can sit down front, and then we'll know whether or not we need chairs. Okay? That's something that we can do. That's something that's important that we all do. That allows the guests to come in and to find seating easily. You have your role to make folks feel welcome. Here's things that you can write down. There's space for it in the notes. It starts in the parking lot, right? If you see a new face, even before you walk in the building, you don't have to wait to come inside to say hello. You can say hello out there. In fact, I encourage you to say hello out there. It starts in the parking lot. And then what do we have in our notes? We have something called this arm's length rule. What would that be? Well, that would be greeting anyone, meeting anyone who is in arm's length of you. We sit in pews here, right? We don't have the theater seating. So the people just down the pew, we need to meet them, and especially on that day. Meet them. Are they within arm's length? Let's say hello. Let's introduce ourselves. What I'm calling the handoff rule, what's that mean? It means that as you meet someone and they're walking in another direction, you're walking in another direction, you could make an introduction before you go on. Oh, I see you're heading that way, but there's Bob. I'd love you to meet Bob. Bob's my friend. And then Bob has my new friend to talk to him for just a minute. What you don't want is to have hundreds of people milling around, someone standing in the middle saying, I am lost here. I'm lost. There's a sea of people and I'm completely lost. We don't want that. That doesn't happen when I introduce myself and I try to introduce them to somebody nearby. See? That doesn't happen. And then finally, the 10-minute rule, which is something we talk about a lot, really. And that is, let's give it 10 minutes at the end of service before we kind of group up, click up with our friends and our family. And what do we want to do with that 10 minutes? Meet guests. Meet guests. A lot of them will file out within 10 minutes or less. And you get to talk to them and you can say more to them than how about the weather. You know, you can get to know them a little bit. But the point is, you're making an effort instead of, again, the other thing that happens is that people huddle up, because we all know our friends, and somebody's standing in the middle of four huddles saying, I'm lost, I don't know anybody. We don't want that. We don't want that. And so we're going to talk to our friends, our loved ones, but we're going to give it 10 minutes before we do that to make sure we've met the people around us. You can be the reason. You can be the last impression and the lasting impression of the love of Christ on someone who is not a Christian. And it was because you were welcome. It was because you were friendly in a place that was new to them. People have expectations of welcome. The Lord did. And we're going to exceed those expectations on October 1st when all the hooks are in the water, when we all work together and make a difference. If you want to take out your, put away your Bible, put away your notes, we're going to have some more song worship in just a moment. Brother Tim's going to come and lead us. There's not a doubt in my mind that that old boy from Kentucky was absolutely right. His commercial fishing with hundreds of hooks was going to outfish the guy with the rod and the reel every single time. I mean, I just absolutely believe it. That makes sense to me. That's why it's so important that we all work together, that all the hooks are in the water. We're going fishing for men. Now, I know we have some guests with us today. You might even be a first-time guest here at Livingston Church. If you haven't picked up on it yet, on October 1st, we're having a Meet the Church Day. We'd love for you to be back. You don't have to wait till then, but we hope that you will please come back. It's going to be a special day meeting friends and loving people to the Lord by sharing the gospel. We want you to be here that day. To our members, you might be looking at this list of five things and say, well, that does sound pretty swell for October the 1st, and I want to do that. But I don't know what's so special about October the 1st. Shouldn't I do this stuff every week? Shouldn't I do this for every Sunday? You are so smart. You absolutely should. You absolutely can. But we are making a special effort for October the 1st. Okay? That's Meet the Church Day. But we all work together in these ways. We get all the hooks in the water to fish for men in these ways. Week in and week out. really, God, we could be together and share this time of worship. If there's someone here this morning who's convicted to name Jesus Christ as their Lord, and we put him on in baptism, we have all things prepared in order to do that. If there is a saint who's gone away and it's been some time since you've been in fellowship with the Lord or with his people and you'd like to repent of that, you'd like to be restored, you have an opportunity to do that now. If you need to be baptized into Christ or if we could pray for you about any spiritual matter, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. As together we stand and sing, won't you come?